Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Ray Davis. I'm the Director of Youth and Family Ministries here. Today's scripture is two scriptures. First one from 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13, and then 2 Timothy 3:16. And the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, teaching in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Last Sunday, I told you I was going to talk about something that all of us struggle with, wrestle with, have questions about, and that's how does God speak to us? God's voice, the voice of God. How does God speak to us? And we talked a little bit last week about the voice of God and how God spoke to people like Moses and Abraham and David and Paul and Peter and so forth, and how David was moved to praise God by in the writing of Psalm 29. We heard that he compared God's voice to thunderstorms and lightnings and earthquakes and things in nature. Today, as I promised, I wanted to talk about three more questions that I think all of us wrestle with at one time or another, particularly those of us who are relatively new to the faith, maybe not sure about all of this and how God speaks and whatnot, and then even for us who have been around a while and have been Christians all of our lives, but yet still struggle with knowing God's voice and how to identify God's voice and to distinguish God's voice. So the questions I want to look at today are, how does God speak to us today? We know God spoke in a certain way at a certain time to certain people in Scripture. How do we know it's God speaking and not someone or something else? And then finally, how do we listen? How do we listen for God's voice? And I just want to spend some time briefly with each of these questions today. So, how does God speak to us today? Well, I'm of the firm belief that God speaks to us primarily through His Holy Word. This book we call the Bible did not just fall out of the sky all in place one day out in the desert. This book is the inspired word of God to human beings, just like you and I, that has been put together over the centuries and become our canonized word of God, how God speaks to us primarily. As Ray read from 2 Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting, and training in righteousness. In this book, we find things like the Ten Commandments. We're all familiar with the Ten Commandments, I would hope. There may be someone among us who have never heard of the Ten Commandments, but I doubt it. The Ten Commandments are God's basic principles for living as a people in community. We have the Psalms, the songbook, the worship book of the Hebrew people. We have the book of Proverbs, which is God's wisdom revealed to Solomon and others to help us live this life that God has called us to. In this Word of God, we have the teachings of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And within those Gospels, we find the things like the Beatitudes, the teachings, the core teachings of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, which is also repeated in Luke's Gospel as well. The Scripture is not just information. It is not just informational, but it is transformational. It is transformation. It is meant to transform us from the inside out. And I believe God speaks to us mostly through the pages and the words of Holy Scripture. There's a story in Acts chapter 8 where an Ethiopian eunuch has been to worship in Jerusalem, and he's on his way back home, and he's reading a scroll or somehow reading the book of Isaiah from his sedan or his chariot or his carriage or whatever he's riding in. And Philip somehow shows up alongside his carriage, and he hears this Ethiopian eunuch reading the word of God out loud, which, by the way, is not a bad way to read God's word. It really does make a difference reading it out loud to ourselves. Anyway, Philip hears this reading of God's word, and Philip calls up to the Ethiopian eunuch and says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the Ethiopian eunuch says, "How can I understand unless somebody explains it to me?" And so he invites Philip to get up in the carriage with him. And as they're riding along, Philip is explaining the words of Isaiah and the words that he had been reading. And the Ethiopian eunuch is touched so deeply because Philip has explained that these scriptures point to the risen Christ that Philip has just seen ascended into heaven. And the Ethiopian eunuch is transformed from the inside out by saying, "What is preventing me from being baptized right here, right now? Here is some water. I want to get baptized." It came from the reading of God's word that his heart was touched and he fell under conviction and wanted to become a follower of Jesus Christ. That's only one of many, many stories about God's transformational power through his word and how God speaks to us. How else does God speak to us? Well, I believe God speaks to us through other people. Other people. You might call them messengers from God. When we usually think of messengers from God, we usually think of what? Angels. I don't know about you, but I've never seen a heavenly body with wings. Have you? Has anybody here seen a cherubim, seraphim? Really? Seriously? I haven't, but I have seen lots of people, many of you, sitting right here in this room that have brought me messages from God, that have shared with me a word of reproof, a word of encouragement, a word of hope, a word of joy, to tell me that God is speaking through you. And I tell you what, in about the third row over in the last seat, there's another one sitting at the end that I've been married to for 32 years that has been the word of God to me many, many times when she says, "Fred, you really need to think about this." Or, "Fred, do you really want to go there? Fred, have you prayed about this? Fred, slow down." That's the hardest one, slowing down. But I know it's a word from God. And I need that. And I need that encouragement. And I need that person in my life to help me. The other day, I sent out an email. And I asked for somebody to just share how God had spoken to them. And I did get a response. I'm not going to mention the name, but I've got it here on my Facebook BlackBerry. So I have to say the Lord has spoken to me many times. First, I wanted to be a nurse. I was 5 years old. I made some bad choices, blah, blah, blah. Fast forward, she says, married, 2 kids, husband, starts construction business. It's going good for early 80s. I start to go to nursing school halfway through. Business starts to fail. Have to drop out and get a job to support the family. I got down on my knees and I prayed, "Lord, please, I know you have called me to be in the medical field, but I realize," slow down here, "I am not going to be able to get my nursing degree. So please, Lord, I want to work in medicine with an awesome surgeon and do all the things in this life you know I was called to do, but without my college degree. Please, Lord, I'm leaving it in your hands." Fast forward a few years later, started working for a veterinarian. Amazing man, specialized in emergency medicine and surgery. Took me under his wing, taught me everything. Now I was blissfully happy, but honestly, I forgot the prayer and had never considered veterinary medicine. So I was riding my bike to work one day, and a deep voice said to me out of nowhere, "Do you remember that prayer that you prayed?" Well, I almost fell off my bike into the street. The sudden rush I got was unreal because he had given me everything I'd prayed for, just like I'd asked. I tell everybody that story. Honestly, I will never get over it. "Man, this gives me chills to this day," she says. And then she goes into another story that I don't have time to share with you today. God speaking to her through prayer, answering prayer. And we're going to talk more about that in just a minute. I believe God speaks to us, speaks to our hearts through a sense of conviction. Some things we know that we fall under conviction, that is, we feel compelled to do or not to do. I believe God speaks to us through devotionals, those little upper room things. We put those out there for you to use in your daily Bible reading. Those are stories connected with a particular scripture about people who have gone through similar things that you have gone through. They're written by ordinary people just like you and me. I believe God speaks to us through what I like to call God incidences, not coincidences. That's a new word for you, God incidents. If something feels like it's a coincidence, a happenstance, some people would say, I'd like to think of them as God incidences, if you've experienced God's grace and God's blessing in a special way. Call it a God incident. In the United Methodist Church, we have four ways that we try to know God's mind, that we know God's voice, and it's through something called, and here's a word you're not going to hear every day, the Wesleyan quadrilateral. Yeah, right. It's a geometry term, geometric term, but basically it just means something with four sides. The four things that Wesley pointed out are Scripture is number one. Scripture is the primary means by which we hear from God, form our theology and belief. Secondly is tradition. We have a rich tradition within our belief system that's over 2,000 years old. Actually, over 5,000 years old. But the Christian faith is 2,000 plus years. And we have the church, the teachings of the church. The church has given us what? The creeds, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, to help us understand God, to know God, and to understand what we believe. The church has given us music. We've got a hymnal in the other room that's about this thick with over, 700 or 800 songs in it. Those songs are written by people that have been inspired and been spoken to by God, people like Fanny Crosby. Of course, Charles Wesley wrote over 8,000 hymns, only a few of them included in our hymnal. We have songs like How Great Thou Art, The Old Rugged Cross, Just As I Am, In the Garden, Because He Lives, all these wonderful old hymns, How Firm a Foundation, all of them written by people of God and given to us through the church. The third thing is experience. God speaks to us through daily experiences of God's grace and love. We experience God, most of all, when we give our lives to God and we realize that we are forgiven sinners and that Christ died for our sins. That's an experiential thing that touches our hearts. And God speaks to us through daily experiences of God's love and grace and forgiveness every day. And finally, John Wesley said, reason is a way that we can know God and to know God's voice. God has given us a brain between these ears to think. He has given us the ability to think about what this means to us and what it means for the transformation of the world. We are to be thinking Christians so that we are able to articulate and to explain and to persuade others to the love and the joy and the hope and the peace that Christ has given us. The Wesleyan quadrilateral. There's a new word for you today. Secondly, how do we know it's God speaking and not another voice? You know, there are many, many voices out there today trying to get our attention. And probably the biggest one is the culture. The culture in which we live. The world says this, that, and the other. The world says this is good, that is good. The Bible speaks of this, that says, according to the world, you know, the road is wide, and open, but it only leads to destruction. The way of Christ is narrow. The voices that we hear from culture are different from God's. But how do we know the difference between our own thoughts, messages from the culture, and voices from our either legalistic background or our liberal background? How do we know the voice of God in all of that mix? Dallas Willard, a Christian author that I've read several of his books, in his book Hearing God, helps us with three qualities to help us to know the difference between the voices of the culture and God's voice. He says the voice of God carries substance, weight. It's impactful. It brings peace and lifts up and does not destroy. It is couched in love. He says God's voice is rarely loud, flashy, dramatic, like Elijah saw in the mountain there when the fire and the windstorm and the earthquake passed by. It does not argue. It is not divisive. It seeks unity and calmly assures. He says that God's voice always fits God's nature. God's voice always fits the nature revealed to us in Jesus Christ. You want to see God's nature? Look to Jesus. That is God with us, God in the flesh. God's voice will never lead you where the Word of God forbids you to go. Remember that. God's voice will never lead you where this Word forbids you to go. That's how we know it's of God. When a voice consoles us, when someone comes to us and comforts us in our pain and our sorrow and our grief, when someone gives us assurance and a sense of peace and a sense of calmness and a sense of love, I say, that's the voice of God speaking to you. And you may be that person to someone who's going through that rough time. You may be the answer to someone's prayer. Be careful what you say. I think Sarinda alluded to that a while ago. Be careful what we say, because you may be that person that God has sent to comfort, to console. And finally, how do we listen for God's voice? Joyce knows this probably better than anyone in this room. Practice, practice, practice. You just don't sit down to a piano and play Mozart or Handel or Chopin. It takes years and years of practice, doesn't it? You just don't start out running the Boston Marathon by showing up one day. Takes practice. And it's the same way with listening for God's voice. And that, of course, begins with prayer. Being in prayer, being still, getting still before God, enjoying some solitude, enjoying some peace, journaling. We have any journalers out there that write down from time to time what's going on in their life? Used to be called a diary. We call it a journal now. Try it. It's amazing how God speaks to us as we journal, as we talk to our spiritual guides and mentors. Just want to summarize all of this, because I know we're running short on time, but it's so important and so vital to our Christian life. Listening to God takes time and it takes practice, but it also takes a heart that's open to those little messages that God sends to us every day, every day. Learning to listen for and knowing God's voice means living in God's wisdom. How many times have we read the book of Proverbs, or even bothered to go to the book of Proverbs? I challenge you to read a proverb chapter a day and see what God's take is on wisdom as opposed to earthly wisdom. Knowing the scriptures, knowing what this book says. That is why we put such an emphasis on Sunday school and teaching the children the Word of God and small group studies and, of course, preaching and teaching. Trusting the community, being in the community of others, to help us on our Christian journey, to share our words of testimony and faith. And along the way, of course, we're going to make some mistakes. We're going to mess up. We're going to stumble and fall. But you know what? God's grace is right there to pick us up, to dust us off, and say, I'm right here. I'm with you. Don't worry about it. God still wants us to hear from Him today. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening? Like the words of a friend or a spouse, God speaking to us is what allows us to know Him, to trust Him, and to love Him and one another more intimately. That is what I believe the voice of God, how the voice of God speaks to us, and some ways that we all can hear that voice amidst the din of the world. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank You for Your voice that comes to us so often, and yet we're so busy, we're so distracted. Help us, O God, to slow down, to listen for that still small voice. And help us, O God, in the busyness of our summertime lives, with all of the activities and the beach and the activities and fun and all the things that go on in summer, to make sure, Lord, that we stay connected to You and to Your holy word. Speak to us, O Lord, each and every day, and help us to speak good words, words of encouragement and love to those who are hurting. We love You, Lord. We praise You, and we thank You for this message. Thank You for this day in Your church. But most of all, thank You for Jesus Christ, for it's in His name that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.